Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome,
but we're hopeful and justice will end. Life,
Freddie Gray, Sam Du Bois, Philando Castile, Terrence Crutcher, Aaron Sterling, Jamal Clark, Jeremy McDowell, William Chapman II, Walter Scott, Eric Harris, Tamir Rice, Akia Gurley, Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, George Floyd. Good evening and welcome to the podcast, The Attic. Black Perspective, an urban podcast. I want you to understand how it is that we feel. I've got the crew standing by. The messenger, baby sis, baby brother, Nurse Carmen, Sister Tippy, and of course, Triple OG out of Florida. Let's podcast.
Black Lives Matter. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. I love it when they try to convince me that all lives matter, and I keep telling them, if all lives matter, there would be no need for a Black Lives Matter movement. Good evening, and welcome to the weekly podcast, The Attic. I'm co-producer, and I've got my family with me. How's everybody doing tonight?
We doing fine, Brother Malcolm.
Hello, my brother.
Hello. Oh, that's what I've been saying.
Yeah, Brother Malcolm.
Yes, if all lives was equal, then we wouldn't need a movement for anything. But it is because of everybody understands that every other life is important, but there's always a question mark as to the life of a Black man. Hey, listen. I hate to keep, I don't know why, I'm trying to train myself not to say Black History Month, but let's call it what society calls it, Black History Month. And let me tell you something. I know we're going to talk about in a few minutes, we'll probably discuss some wild shit that happens to Black people throughout their everyday lives. But I want to start this show off tonight with some positive shit. I mean, I'm going to take you back a little ways. Before there was a Jeff Bezos, before there was a, what's my man's name? Warren Buffett. There was a Black man, a king of the Mali Empire, Mansa Musa. And just hold on for about 1 minute and 30 seconds, because I need you to hear this.
Before there was Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, there was Mansa Musa. Born in 1280, Musa came to the throne in 1312 and would rule the Malian Empire until 1337. The Mali Kingdom's gold mines helped Mansa Musa's wealth grow tremendously. He was also a devout Muslim and wanted to foster the growth of Islamic knowledge. He embarked on a 4,000-mile pilgrimage to Mecca in the likes the world has never seen. He took with him a caravan that stretched as far as the eye can see, with some reports estimating that there were 60,000 people, including animals. This caravan consisted of attendees carrying golden staffs, wearing expensive Persian silk. Even his slaves were wearing gowns made of brocade, also carrying his gold. It was said that he would build a mosque every Friday. Wherever he went, he would give away his gold to the poor, especially in Cairo. In fact, he gave away so much gold, he caused mass inflation, which weakened the economy. Tales of his wealth reached Europe, which put Mansa Musa on the map, quite literally. After a year's journey from Hajj, he He brought back with him artists and scholars to Mali. This helped him develop the Mali Empire, making it the central hub for knowledge in Africa. Till this very day, Muslims travel to West Africa to learn Islam and become scholars. This was the life of Mansa Musa, a great example of the rich and inspiring African Islamic history.
And I thank you for bearing with me on that, because, I mean, not bearing with me, but for enjoying that. It goes to show, when we talk about Black history, again, let's take it all the way back to the root. And here's a king in the year, he lived 1280 to 1337. In the year 1337, they say this king had amassed a fortune. Now, you got to keep this in mind. 1337, they said my man, his pockets was holding 400 billion in 1337. Did he have paper or what? Did he have coin? $400 billion in 1337. But you know what I love about the story about this king? Did you hear? He gave away. He just gave away. He gave away so much wealth that he weakened an economy. That's giving away some shit, man. I'm sorry, man. That's giving away some stuff. And again, you don't learn this stuff. See, this is the shit that young Black boys and Black girls, well, excuse me, young everybody need to learn so they can appreciate the culture of people with color. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm
good. By myself? Oh, all right. Say, am I by myself? Say, huh?
Yeah,
can I?
Hey,
man.
I'm good.
All right. But you know, I mean, again, and then when we start the show off with King Musa, Mansa, they gave the name Mansa. I just got to put this out there because I love the story that I'm learning of this great king. And it's so funny. A little young boy at work, man, a young boy like 19 years old, asked me, "Well, Mr. Hodge, you ever heard of Mansa Musa?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm keeping it 100. Nah, I never heard of it." And he educated me on it, and I began to start, and I'm reading up on him now. But Mansa means sultan or empire, and his name was Musa. But the beauty, I can't stress this enough, the beauty that this man's life teaches everybody is, I love it when they said he has so much wealth and he gave away so much wealth. Do you know what it would take to weaken a damn economy? Do you know how much money he had to give away? And if that don't show that from inception, man, people of color are people of substance, man. And then go ahead, my brother.
One of the things you got to understand is if it all started from Africa, we've got no choice but to be of substance because it all started there. So just because they keep trying to beat it in us, we've got, as the brother educated you, we've got to be mindful of stuff and don't succumb to the submission of the white man trying to make you think you're something that you're not. I'm not even going to plug Thursday night at 8 o'clock, bro. I ain't even going to do it, man.
But you know, it just brings me back to some natural, everyday shit for Black people. Just some of the shit that you have to go through. And let me tell you something to my podcast audience. Ain't nobody sitting over here having no damn pity party. I'm talking life. I'm talking reality. And again, I would appreciate a listening ear from you, but I don't expect you to really understand what I'm talking about. And that's no disrespect. Some shit you just got to be to understand, and you can never be. But the shit that you have to go through just because you Black, just because you are a person of color, automatically, no matter what it is that you want to do, the scales are somehow lowered on your end. Now, in some cases, Let me tell you something. In some cases, we can even that out. In some cases. But that should be a fight that we should never have to fight. And it seems like everybody's in the fight against the darker your skin color is. So, again, this has levels to it. I see black people, man, just as racist with a little modification to the actual definition as some white people. And they think because you black, you can say what you want to say and feel. I mean, you have that right, but because of what you say and what you feel, puts you right in that category of those who we consider the oppressors.
Hey, baby sis.
Yes, my brother.
I'm gonna need you to give him a hug. All right.
He just got some things on his chest that he wanted to say.
I'm just saying, only because if it wasn't February, see, I wouldn't say this shit though. But it's February. I know what I'm saying.
It's just humor. That's all, bro.
I feel it's my civic duty. Only during February to say some shit. You understand?
All right.
It's my civic duty.
I think it's a beautiful thing that we are, you know, black men, women, we are people of, we're so resilient, you know, you just can't keep us down. And so that's what's the beautiful thing about it. You know what I mean? No matter what, we always come back
bigger, better,
stronger. So, you know what I mean? So that you have to hold on to that, if nothing else.
And every time we come back. Teaching the lesson that I got to say this how I feel this. We come back teaching the lesson. Motherfucker, I ain't mad at you, man. That was some fucked up women. That was some fucked up shit you did. But I ain't mad at you. So that's the
and he's back.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. that's how we come back. Yeah, that was some awful, repugnant shit you did to my people for hundreds of years. But all we're saying is, okay, can we stop now? Can we both just walk down the street together? I don't want to walk in front of you. But, you know, the shit was so rotten and so awful that some people say, okay, I hear what your mouth is saying, but, nah, that shit we did to y'all, I know you some bitches is coming back, but that just ain't in our nature, man. Sometimes you can look at that as a curse, but I'm sure that there's a divine purpose that we are put together that way. I gotta believe that.
We're forgiving to a fault, right?
I'm just saying because everybody, we not no punk people, man. We not a nation of old bitch ass folks.
But we are forgiving people.
Real forgiving. And
just
I gotta,
that, you know, that's your nature.
That's the nature.
That's your nature to forgive. That's part of the God in you. But that's Thursday night.
I know, but I'm just saying.
He said, "Don't you dare! Don't you dare go through that right now. That's on Thursday. Don't you do it? Don't do it, right?"
Hey, baby sis, I'm gonna change the name of the attic to Plug Thursday Night. Hey, it's Monday night, and welcome to Plug Thursday Night. But anyway, this is the co-producer. Now, but I feel you, baby. I'm gonna tell this man to help me stop working so much, man, so I could join the cast back up on those nights. But anyway, let's get back to why is it so hard living being black? OG coming out of Florida. I haven't heard from you in a while, man. Tell me, brother, why is it so hard being black or being a person of color?
From my perspective or from this? Because they see us as a threat. And that's how they react.
But let me ask you a question, if we can get into a little dialogue. I mean, and I really do mean this. What the fuck have we done to people to make us, we got to be that threat?
Guilt.
That's what it is. That's just what it is. Guilt. Is passed on from generation to generation.
Absolutely.
That's so true.
I mean, because I mean,
when is the dam going to break?
Yeah, but you know, like I said, we got some rotten ass black people. We got some rotten ass white people. There's some rotten ass people in this world, man. But I don't know when you get to the point that, because you got a bad experience with one, you teach generations of your folks to hate them all, and it works. Because I gotta say, that's some evil shit that was put on us, man. But to this day, that shit worked, man. To this day, how we were separated and taught to love those who beat your ass more than those who soaked your wounds up for you, who held you and shit. So again, that shit still works today, and we have to understand.
To quote an exchange student I met in school. When the white man came to Africa, he had the Bible, we had the land. We now have the land, and we now have the Bible, and he has the land. And that's what they're worried about.
Well, hold on. Let me give you the intro. And go, messenger.
and that's a witness here today, and this is why the Republicans are acting like they're losing their mind, because they're as Public Enemy said, they're fear of a black planet, and that's what this planet is coming, and they're fear of that, because even though we've been as forgiving of them as we could be, they still can't believe it, that all that we've done, and they're ready to forgive us and move on. They don't think we can, and not only that, they've got, because we've held them down, they've held us down so long, and they know we've got the mentality, we've got the spirit, we got the mind, the body to do these things, and they're afraid that they'll
then
be left out.
Yeah, so some of it is guilt, but there's also a part of just plain arrogance too, because they do feel that they are superior.
It's called white privilege.
Do feel that too. To a certain extent, they feel superior. No matter what, no matter how much we have advanced, no matter how much we have accomplished, they still feel we are, to a certain extent, beneath them. So it's a combination of both guilt and the fact that they feel superior.
Let me get in here 1 minute, baby brother. I'm gonna pass it to you. Let me just say to my podcast audience, because sometimes when we have contributors on the show, when we say all, again, all is not all on this show, just like all is not all, and all men are created equal. So, you know what I'm saying? So when we talk about that.
Oh, and I totally agree with that. I'm not speaking on all of them, all the masses. You know, because there's good and bad in all races and everyone. But I'm just saying the general consensus of a lot of them, how they feel.
Yeah, those who sit at the top and hold the power of the decision makers. That's who we are addressing.
Correct. That is correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's going to have to continue. Like, you look at the protests that's been going on recently. The reason the protests are successful is that the blend of people. You got people, white people, black people, blue people, brown people. Well, the blue people, they took them on to the hospital. But you got brown people, yellow people. You got people of all nationalities out here on the side of, justice. Let's make this shit right. And again, that's going to be the nucleus that continues to push this movement forward. And it's a damn shame that we have to call it a movement when all we're talking about is everybody living their life. Don't put no special shit on me. Let me live like you live. If you can go in the park and use one of those cemented in barbecue picnic grills, barbecue grills, then I can go use it. That's all I'm saying. Does that make sense? I don't see where there's a downside to that.
The downside is if I let you use it, then you gonna bring your cousin, then your cousin gonna bring his cousin, and then I can't get to use it. So don't use it at all. That's how they see it. That's why everything is they're petrified of the black man or the colored people taking over. And that privilege that they have for so long that they think they're entitled to. And truth be told, you got to understand, if all you've been taught was that you are above everybody else, it's hard not to believe that.
Now, you know what, Rasta? Watch this. Also, I'm just keeping it 100 like I try to do most of the time. But I ain't mad at them for not wanting to give up that white privilege, man.
All right. Yes.
Because if I had black privilege, I'd be like, whoa, 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 ho, ho. Let's talk. Now, I'm with the marching guys. I'll march with you. But, yeah, I'll march with you. But come on, man. Fuck that.
that white privilege is a mug.
And you know what? And we're not going to go too far from let's talk about being black. That's usually some shit that you don't even ask for. You just get. And when you get something that you didn't even ask for, it seems to be natural. It seems to be like it was predestined that you're going to get that. And when you have that for all these years, and again, most of you never asked for it. You saying, well, give what back? I don't have anything. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
All right, man. Because you didn't ask for it, you got it for nothing. So when you ask for that, and again, I wish there was some black privilege. In fact, honestly, I wish there was no privilege and everybody had the same shit, man. That's what I really wish.
Baby boy,
imagine
what you think?
All the people. Hold on. Imagine. Nah. Baby boy, talk to me, man. I haven't heard you tonight, man.
Here's the deal. As black people, at one time, we had something. Just like the Indians, we had something. And the white man came along and took it and flipped that all upside down and taught us that we didn't have nothing. There was a time when they didn't even acknowledge us as being a man or a woman. We had no, civil rights? We had no civil rights. And we had to fight for that. And to a certain extent, now we still ain't got no equal rights. Because they don't look at us as being an equal to them.
Wait a minute. Hold on one second. Let me just get in here 1 minute. Just imagine.
Oh, hold up. One more thing.
Just imagine you got to fight.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to you, baby, bro. Just imagine you got to fight to prove you a fucking human being. We're not even talking about no rights for no other shit yet. You got to fight for years to prove that you ain't a piece of property.
I think.
All right, go ahead.
There's something more worse. There's something worse than that.
What is that?
I think that they don't think we have a right to exist. I.e., all the black men have been murdered over the last few years by police. That's what I think. They don't think we have a right to exist.
Let me say, the end result would probably support what you said, but I'm sure some other shit involved there. But that's, I don't know. I think that as black people, you know, I'd like to say we have to do a better job. Excuse me now. Hear me good. I'd like to say this. I'm not saying this shit. I'd like to say we have to do a better job of projecting ourselves and our culture onto society. But I'm sorry. I can't agree to that because everybody's culture is everybody's culture. So if your culture conflicts with my culture, you ain't making no goddamn adjustments. So we're going to learn to understand each other's culture. No, I'm not going to be the one making no damn adjustments, man. We're going to adjust together.
See, that's their mentality. They think that they're better than us, and they have that right
to look down on
people, black people, brown people.
So this I said, this being the month, this being Black History Month, if you could send a message to black people, and let me say Black History Month or message to black people, but yes, I'm predominantly talking to those who look closer to me, but I'm speaking to everybody. If you could do one thing to bring about a little justice and equality in this world, what would it be, OG? I'm gonna go around the horn so everybody think of an answer for me.
Change the mentality of our children, especially our boys. That okay. Everything is not, in spite of what you see or what is projected, everything is not gotten by the end of a gun. That listen, there's too much violence against ourselves. How can you get somebody to respect you if you don't give a damn about you? That has been my argument for the last 40, 50 years. And I go to my grave and say, that's the damn thing.
So if you could change one thing, what would it be? Give it to me in a sentence, man.
Change your attitude towards each other.
Okay. Respect. All right, baby, bro. If you could change one thing, if you could change one thing, come on. If you could change one thing.
No, I'm saying I'm thinking. Go to somebody else and come back to me.
No, I'm not coming back to you, man. You're going to lose your shot. All right.
Well, I got it.
Nurse, come on, man. Nurse Carmen. One thing that you, if you could change to bring about some equality in this world, what would it be?
It would be to look at women as women and not as objects.
You go, my girl, you go.
And we bring more to the table than just being an object.
I hate you.
That's right.
Whoa.
I hate you.
Whoa,
absolutely.
I hear you, baby girl.
Absolutely.
I didn't see that coming. Okay. So,
you can stop it right there. You can really stop it right there.
Right. You asked the question.
You can stop it right there.
Okay. But I feel you.
That was beautiful. Okay. That was beautiful, Nurse Carmen. We can stop it right there.
Okay. So I don't want. Baby bro, I hate to come back to you because you should have had your shit ready, man. But. Baby,
you
bro.
Came back real soon, too. God.
You know what? I'm not asking you to solve no goddamn mathematical equations, man. Just tell me what you would do to make shit a little easier.
I get it.
Man.
The way we think towards one another.
How you going to change it? What you want to change it to?
No, I'm saying, the way we think of each other, I mean, people, period, as far as everybody is equal. Just because, let's say, if you work here or you got this or you got that, that doesn't make you no better than a person that don't have that.
Okay.
Because the way society has been bred, that's the way it goes.
Okay. Wow.
So you got to remember, too, back in the day,
yeah.
Master used to get the biggest, strongest-looking nigga to do what? Breed. And some black men ain't stopped breeding since then. They still breeding. That mentality.
In and of itself ain't bad now. Come on.
Oh, shit. I hear you, man. Hey, but if I had to do one thing to bring about equality in this nation, it would be simple, man. It'd be real hard to do, but it'd be simple. Here's the deal. All you motherfuckers, man, we got one rule for everything. That's my rule. There's one law. There's one everything. And we're going to hand that shit out to everybody the same way.
Well, it's supposed to be that now, isn't it?
Well, I said, it's supposed to be that. But, shit, Stevie Wonder can see it ain't close to that. But that would be my thing, man.
Oh, I forgot. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, but this is if you had your way. If you ruled
the
world.
I ruled the world. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Ha, 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 ha. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay.
Yo, man.
Actually, speaking about Stevie Wonder, he told Oprah Winfrey that he's moving to Guyana.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's out.
He don't like widows.
He's out.
He, I don't know. He must be an oracle or something, because he doesn't like the way this country, I guess, like, where it's headed to.
You said he must be an oracle? You said he must be an oracle or something?
Yeah.
Watch
it.
And I don't mean he's going to move himself.
Well, he
write
probably songs in the key of life, so you had to be deep to do that.
I don't think he's going to move himself. He's going to hire people to
huh?
do that, because that would be a very fucked up thing there.
Yeah, okay.
He's a musical genius. He might be an oracle. Who knows?
No, but listen. But you know what, though? Watch this. First of all, you Stevie Wonder. Okay. Second of all, I know you got mad bank. So no matter where you want to go, it's going to be all right for you. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, actually, I also read somewhere where I guess they got money, black people, they're moving to Africa. They're leaving the United States and going to Africa.
Now let me say something about the reinvented Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey moving back to Africa. I've been to Africa. I've been to Africa, and I want to tell you, my fucking heart was broke, man. Because I'm sorry, I believe in everything in me. When I get my ass over to Africa, that somebody was going to be running up to me, hugging me like Cousin Kenny, you know, or Umfufu, whatever, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, I didn't think it was going to be that dramatic, but I really thought I was going to feel a different sense of love. Man, that motherfucker looked at me, man, and then my man told me I was in uniform, so that didn't matter to me. I really did. I thought I was going to go over to Africa, man, and them niggas was going to come up there, and we was going, you know, just, even if it was just eye contact, to say, yo, man, we the same. But them niggas looked at me,
I'm
like,
sorry,
nah,
my brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you American.
Yeah, they look down on you, too.
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. And I wanted to say, but I was greatly outnumbered, I should be the motherfucker that's mad. None of y'all came and got us, man. You let them come over here and take all these damn slaves. Ain't nobody come and get them. What the fuck? What other nation does that? Everybody sends ships after
what
they
had happened was, what had happened was, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have ships. They had canoes.
It don't matter, man. What's it? You build ships.
They
would
have came, but what had happened was.
Yeah. Shit. And you look, and they looking at me like they mad at me. Nah, I'm the nigga that should be pissed off, not you. But yeah, but that set me back a little bit. I had to regroup. I was on mission, so I had to regroup quick. You know, about 2 or 3 minutes, to realize, okay, everything is normal here. You know, we are what we are.
Never gonna be equal, man.
Hey, man, so what's been happening this week, family? I see we had a little feed going on this week. Earl talking about, I mean, brother, baby bruh. Okay, I'll pay the fine. Baby bruh talking about, baby bruh, you watch Malcolm and Elijah. Why you call Elijah?
Oh, yeah, over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also, speaking of that, did you hear about this cop? That I guess he died, but he had a letter where he confessed that he helped the New York police and the FBI set Malcolm up. Remember,
yeah,
Malcolm
heard...
had no security there?
Okay, watch this.
He's saying New York police and FBI was behind that.
Watch this. And no disrespect. No disrespect. But okay. I mean, what you gonna do? What are they gonna do? Everybody already knew that it was some foul play from the outside that infiltrated the inside that set the whole shit up. So the only thing evidence now is just gonna put names, but everybody know the play there. You know what I'm saying? So to bring that up now, after all this time, the name that's gonna come out, that person probably just as dead as Malcolm is. And I say that, you know, Malcolm mutant shit. In fact, before anybody.
Because they say the guys who actually, the guys who actually shot him, don't they, weren't they Muslims out of Hamas and Newark?
Well, that's, I mean, I ain't fucking with that subject. But anyway, let's get back to.
But I'm just saying, it's a documentary. It's right on Netflix for everybody to see. It's a documentary. It's not like it's a secret.
Well,
but like you said, but anyway, but I mean, it is a documentary that's out there on Netflix. So I mean, it's not like it's some secret.
I'm just being funny, because I remember my first encounter with the Muslims, as we call them in Jersey. The sister had her garb on, her long, you know, the clothes they wear. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of them. And it was interesting to me, so I was trying to see her face. Well, not only didn't I get to see her face, but about 5 minutes later, about two cars, and it must have held about 100, 200 Muslims in it, man. They got out and had a real hard conversation with a brother, man. And I I'm thinking, for what? All I want to do is see her face. But nah, you don't touch them. So I got mad respect for the nation. That's all I'm saying. I got mad respect
okay.
for the nation.
You go tell the brothers. Yeah, my man was smooth.
Yeah, he was. I must. He said, no, I shouldn't. I must.
Well, I have a question. And this is in regards to the civil rights leaders and activists that we had in the, you know, that were back in like 50s, 60s, 70s era, compared to what we're dealing with now. And I understand it's a totally different time. And we, you know, so, but overall, you know, like I feel like they don't even make those type of activists anymore. You know, I mean, those are people past that knew going into that they were giving their life, period,
respect.
For that cause. And,
yeah,
and you know,
the
and there's nobody that is. I mean, nowadays, I just don't even see people going into it and knowing that, you know, I mean, you might go into it with good intentions to help out, but you're not going into it to give your life.
What's this?
You know, you're just not going to go into it, something giving it your life. And these are, you know, that's what they did. So, I mean,
right.
And that's just beyond.
What you saying back then?
Comprehension
back then
for,
they
for,
knew
for the
they
average
was going
person.
In it. What you saying? Back then they knew what they was doing
then,
could probably
back
cost
then
them their
they
life.
Knew there was a cause, and they
and,
was
and they
fight
did it
the
anyway because that's
on.
How committed they were. That's just
and
how committed
of.
That they were. You know, and I'm saying you can't. They just don't make them like that anymore.
You right, Martin?
They don't
Abernathy.
Make them like that anymore.
Cause Jesse used to be hard back in the day. Jesse started fucking around with trying to get political aspirations, and he went bad. But Jesse was all right back in the day when the Rainbow Coalition started. Jesse was good, but he done started getting political aspirations. He won't be president and shit, and then he started veering off to a direction that I wasn't interested in. You got brother
I mean,
Mal.
Because you think about it, they did. It's not like they made a lot of money doing it. They didn't. Uh-huh. They didn't. It's not like they lived, you know, high and extravagant.
No.
You know,
protect
and lived any kind of luxury, you know, luxurious lives, lifestyles or anything. So they were just truly committed to the cause.
Yo, you think they had groupies?
Sure they did.
They
let me put it to you like that. When that white girl came up to Malcolm and asked him, what could I do? And he told her nothing. That's that same girl that went to Martin Luther King and said, what can I do, you know, to help the cause? And he said, come on my hotel room at 8 o'clock, knock 3 times.
Oh, that's not right.
You.
That's not right. That's not right.
My thing is,
you know, I ain't going to get into that there. But you know what I'm saying.
Man, hey, that's not right. That's not right. You know what that reminded me of when he did that? I'm sorry. Remember that scene in Barbershop? When they was talking about, when they said Rosa Parks ain't do nothing, and Cedric got pissed off.
No, Cedric was the one who said she didn't do nothing.
Oh, yeah, freaking said she didn't do nothing. Yeah, that's what that reminded me of when OG just said, hey, oh, that's not right. But no, I'm
Can
just
somebody
saying.
Explain to me, back in the day, how did Whoopi Goldberg get that role as playing, was my man that got shot?
Geely.
No, that's The Color Purple. What's my man named? I just saw it the other day. Was it Marcus Garvey? Mega Evers. How did she get that part to play Mega Evers' wife? When back then, we still had some, you know, nice experience.
I'm not touching it. I'm here with the ladies today. I'm not touching that one. I'm not touching
I'm not,
it. I'm here for the ladies.
I'm just saying.
I'm not doing
it. Was a whole lot of other people's. He said it was other people's.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Nah, man. Let Whoopi be, man. Shit. Whoopi, but watch it. Whoopi, my girl. Whoopi came from hard beginnings, man. Remember, she was homeless.
I get that. She hooked up with Jewish men, and I get all that. But I'm saying there were other actresses out there.
Why you kind of make a sound
there? He's still asking the question. Huh? Okay. I'm not doing that with you.
Like I said,
why you
Spike
make
Lee, everybody knows Spike Lee. He make movies and stuff. He's a diehard Nick fan. But who does the movie that they're the coach of the Knicks? Whoopi Goldberg. It ain't right.
Are you still mad about that?
Yeah, it ain't right.
Well, anyway, I guess, watch this. Keeping in line with the theme of the show, let's talk about being black. Like, that wasn't right that they gave that black actor that job.
Thank you.
Get out of here, man. I say, fuck out of here, man. What's that bullshit, man? Whoopi got the job, she got the job. You think Spike Lee should have got it?
No, I'm saying he could have made a movie about being the coach of the Knicks. Out of all the people, they get Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay, I'm saying I'm missing the connection. I'm not seeing the nexus here.
Whoopi Goldberg. Other than The Color Purple, name me one other good movie Whoopi Goldberg did.
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
You like that, really?
Oh, no matter what I say, you was going. No matter what I say,
put your man in Whoopi
Goldberg. Like, nah, that was.
No. I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad at her. Like I said, I'm
what
not
you
mad
at Whoopi for?
Yeah,
I'm not mad at her getting that money. I just thought that there were better actresses out there at that time that could have did that part.
Hey, baby, sis.
I understand when they come in with a script.
Going back like the Rosado brothers and shit.
No, I understand when they come at you with a script, you go for the money. Because remember, at one point, Damon said that. Before he sell out,
saying,
he get the hell out. And what did he do? He turned around and sold out.
But why you on Whoopi right now, though? Whoopi Goldberg, why you on Whoopi? I don't understand that.
Because I just felt like that was an unjust thing of them picking her for that part. I understand she was popular at the time.
You can put your grievances in the suggestion box.
Yeah.
I will do that.
You know what I mean? You could do that. Yeah. Then there's that.
Watch this.
He said,
Jumping Jack Flash. Put him in the box by the door, man. Hey, listen, this is co-producer, and I thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Again, we want to try to keep it interesting and keep it entertaining, but it'd be some real shit talked about on this podcast. And I would ask if you find it entertaining, educational, depending on what it is you need to do, tell a friend. I'd like to grow my audience well over 100,000 listeners, and I can only do that if you help spread the word about the attic. Hey, Cass, did everybody enjoy themselves tonight?
Yes,
yeah.
My brother.
Yeah. Until we got to Whoopi.
Well, that was the whole part right there.
The thing
there.
You did
no,
about
that,
the
that
king,
was,
I was very interested. That was very interesting.
To,
I didn't know that about that king.
We need to have a movie part, too, where we should be able to compare and contrast actors and actresses.
Yo, but that's not real life.
Somebody's
that's
not
real life.
Huh?
It's a waste
all right, listen,
of time.
We're going to pull a plug on you, all right? Hey, listen, let's say goodnight. Yeah. Again.
Good night,
good night, my brother.
I ain't hanging out.
Good night.
I'm staying on.
Good night, John boy.
Dripping
somebody
down
the
lane.
Good night.
Jump and tell him we say goodbye.